In this day and time, there's a lot of people that actually have no idea what truth is. I mean, I've said it before, and I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. There's things going on in this country that I never dreamed of would ever happen concerning what I take to be, in, you know, for granted in general, like just the word truth. Nowadays, it's not popular to even be truth, let alone know truth. And because of that, nobody has any idea, seems like, or knows, or cares what the truth is. We got confusion, we have chaos, and it's in the whole world, not in just the country. There's lies everywhere. And it seems like nobody really knows. People look in a lot of other places for the truth. They have been. I've seen, you know, everybody's seen the proverbial, used to be a commercial on TV, this guy climbing this mountain looking for this religious person for some other religion other than ours, it appeared to be, what the meaning of life was. He was hunting truth. Of course, when he got there, the guy told him something. He's had some stupid commercial doing some kind of product. But my point is that people are always looking for the truth, and they don't look in the right place. People need a sure place to find truth. I was going to call this the source of truth, all truth, and it is. But truth is truth. It's what it is. It's all of it. It's all grouped in the same thing. And the only sure place to get truth is God's Word. His perfect Word. No mistakes, no errors. If all the people in all the countries of the world, ours included, would return to God's Word, we could all have the truth. But nowadays, there seems like I don't get to go out and visit other churches and stuff, and I'm sure there's many more than us. As far as church services go, I've been to a few, but most of the time it's here, so I feel like I know, and I know I am getting the truth here in God's Word. And you ask me, how do I know that? We'll get to that in a little while. The death of truth is what it is in our country especially, in our society as a world, has led to breakdown in the society. Just like in our men's meeting, God laid it on my heart, you know, we started the men's meeting, all men need to know where their place is at. There's a breakdown in our society. Men don't know because we don't have a generation of men not knowing. We have a generation of product of another generation of men not knowing. That means it's already happened and we're seeing results of it. And what's happening there is it keeps continuing. The only way to stop it is to know the truth. And as I've said before, God's foundation for setting all of this up is through the man. He's the head, and through the family. The absence of truth and the death of truth in our society, also has caused hard-heartedness. That is the opposite of truth. If you don't hear truth, the opposite is a lie. When you hear a lie, when you hear lies, and then the truth comes, you neglect the truth. The world will most certainly do it. God's Word says that the world is an enemy to God. The world in itself and the people do not want the truth. Whenever they do want the truth and they seek the truth and they find the truth, it's evident in their lives, how they live, how they act. Because there's only one place to get it, and it's God's Word. And what is even sometimes even sadder, there is people that are Christians that do not exercise the truth that they give. That's sad. The world hated Jesus because he is a man of the truth. He is the truth. If we follow Jesus, the world's going to hate us. You might as well get ready for it. My brother Scotty has preached to us many, many times, and I've heard preached many times in the past. I believe it's 1 Peter 4:12. Don't think this is any strange thing that's come upon you. If I've heard Scotty quote it right. This trial, this fiery trial, one of the fiery trials you're going to have if you stick to the word of God, the world's going to hate you. Sometime, someplace, somewhere. And it could turn into any time, any place, anywhere. This world is coming to that really quick. The world hated Jesus because he was of the truth. He is the truth. They didn't take him seriously. It's even worse today. And people today do not take the world seriously, the truth seriously at all. But we are to be a people of the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. So help us God. Now I know y'all heard that phrase before. How many's been in the courtroom here lately? You don't hear it much anymore. They'll ask them if they're going to tell the truth. Do you swear you'll tell the truth? And they say, yeah, I do, or something like that. They won't even bring the Bible in, which is, I don't know why they bring the Bible in anyway, because like Brother Scotty said, if they're going to lie, the Bible's not going to keep them from it. But at any rate, the world wants to turn from the truth. And the reason the world wants to turn from the truth is because the truth comes from the Word of God. No matter how anybody defines it, truth only comes and originates from God's Word. People can call something that they think is the truth, and it's not the truth. But real truth only comes from God's Word. And we can correctly say that truth is God's Word on all subjects, spiritual and natural. Natural being reality, if you want to use that word. In the natural, our everyday life. Truth lives. It is alive. It don't matter if we agree with it or not, if we like it or not, if we feel it or not, even if we want it or not. It is alive. It exists. Our challenge as born-again Christians is to adjust ourselves and our lives to God's Word, the truth. On all subjects. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify means to set apart, to separate. Jesus was praying for his disciples first because he knew the world was going to hate them because they had the truth in them and he knew it. He knows their hearts. Then later on in that chapter, he prayed for all of those to hear their words and accept the truth. That being us, an ever born again Christian that accepts Jesus as their personal Savior. I had a conversation with my boys this morning and explained to them. If Jesus is your Savior, there better be something in here. If you want a sign that you know the truth, there better be something in here that calls you to where you're at today. Besides to be seen, to be heard, to enjoy yourself, or any other thing that's of the flesh or any other reason except your heart and your spirit. If your spirit and your heart is craving God and His Word, that's the reason. You're born again. That's one of the very first signs. I can testify to that because I lived most of my life, if y'all heard me say before, trying to serve God. Long times at the time of my life I didn't serve God, and short times I tried. Until the night of April 20, 2014. Now, I used to wonder how preachers could stand up and say, oh, boy, back in 1940-something, 50-something, I remember, and God touched me. I now know. Because when God comes into your life and he sees the change in your heart of true repentance, and his word takes a firm hold in your heart, it will change you. And you'll never forget it the rest of your life. Now, before that happened, I used to say I was born again when I was about 6 years old. Now, I remember saying the prayer with my Sunday school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Bolin, Belle Claire Heights Baptist Church in Graniteville, South Carolina. I remember all that because those are historical facts, people, places, things. But I don't remember much of any of a change going on inside of me. I still remember a happy-go-lucky six-year-old boy that'd run around and, you know, chase my friends around after church and play, and sometimes they get out of hand. I remember one time me and a buddy of mine was sitting, if we'd throw rocks over the church, we'd like on this side of the church throwing. Well, one of my rocks slipped and went right through the window of the church. My daddy had just been called to preach at that church. Well, I run. Now, I remember the boy I was doing with his, well, I don't remember his name. He was Mike Arant's son. That's my daddy's best friend. I was telling all you to tell you a point. That boy, I believe, was born again because the first thing he did is went and confessed and told his daddy some me and Monty was throwing rocks. And he accidentally threw one through the church window, too, believe it or not. I wasn't the only one, but I run. I didn't tell nobody. But I knew my daddy gonna tear me up. But he went and told his daddy. And his daddy told my daddy, and my daddy tore me up after he made me apologize to the pastor, and I had to mow the yard for about 6 months for no pay or nothing. But the point is, I remember all of those things because they're historical facts. The night that my heart changed right here, I received the Word of God into my heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stood up Wednesday night, and like I said, I had a revelation. It was like all over in my being again. You hear God's Word, you receive God's Word, you do God's Word. Now, I have heard that and felt that and known that and had revelation that before, but it's like it's all over again. And it was good. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't know it. I did know it. I still know it. But feeling it and knowing it and living it for that minute and still every single minute since I gave my heart to God here on the altar is something that I can't describe it any other way except God's peace in my life. So I received truth. It don't matter what you do in life. If you want to do well in life, you better have truth in it, God's Word. It don't matter what you are. The leader of this country, to the lowest person in this country, digging the most useless ditch in this country, whatever you want to call it, everything in between and all of it. If you ain't got God's Word in your life, you're not going to do very well. It's just a plain fact. If you're born again and you don't exercise God's Word in your life, you're going to live a somewhat miserable life. I'm a testimony to that, too. There's a saying, I've used it before, that preachers used to use whenever I was growing up. Let go and let God. That's one of the things you have to do. What you do is you let go of the world and your own understanding, and you let God's Word take that place, and He changes everything for you. Is it easy? No. You're still going to go through trials and tests. But that peace I was just mentioning is going to bring you to a place to let it happen, man. The worst that can happen is I'll die, and for me to die is gain because I'm going to be with the Lord. If I die, the Lord's going to take care of my family. You know why? Because I've got my family here today. They're rooted in God's Word. I asked my boys another question. If I came to you one Sunday morning and said, look, do you want to go to church today? If you don't want to, that's fine. Would you go of your own free will? They all said yes. I'm glad they did. I hope they mean it. I know that they do. What I said, I hope they mean it. I mean, I hope that in the future years, it manifests in their life, because they're not always going to have me and mama to make them get up and come to church or remind them it's time to get up and come to church or bring them to church. We're training them. I want it to be more than a training session for them. I want it to be a way of life. If by some means that they do not have God's Word in their heart, and whatever farthest reach of imagination they're not born again, I want them to keep coming to God's house to have the chance to hear God's Word. The truth is so far-fetched to the world today. If you look at it, there's so many lies out there that it's hard to know who is telling the truth, where the truth is coming from. And like I said before, truth only comes from God's Word. If we have a country full of people, or mostly full of people in general, that don't know God's Word, how can we know if they're telling us the truth? That's no more evident today than it is in our news media, just to pick an example. Some of the leaders in this country, I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. I don't know any politicians personally as a person. But if a politician come up to me and shook my hand and said, what is the problem that you'd like to see changed? And I told him, so I'm going to work on doing that. I don't know if he'd be telling me the truth or not. Do you know why? Because politicians in general have set so much of an example in our past in our country of saying one thing and doing another. You know what the Bible says about that? That's being double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Why would he lie to me? Why would he tell me the truth? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's not any politicians like that. I do believe that there are politicians that want to be that way, and our system is so corrupted and messed up now because of no truth that they, if they thought they could do anything, they're afraid to do it or can't do it. Legalistically, their hands may be tied. And then there's some that it has been proven, I don't dwell on it anymore, but I used to study it some, that went up there with a good heart, with true intentions, but they got caught up in the world and greed and decided to become rich and didn't care about anything else that happened. So they started living the lies and quit living the truth. And the government itself, except for our last president, not the one we currently have, wanted God nowhere in anything to do with any form of government that we have. Now, if truth, and it is, comes from God's word, and they don't want God nor his word in the government, how are they going to govern the people with truth and justice? It can't be done. And I know each and every one of us, I don't watch the news anymore. I absolutely, the only, you know when I see the news? When it comes up on Fox 6 on my Facebook page, because I use them for my weather. If they put an article up there, that's when I see the news most time. I scroll right past it. I can tell you nothing except what April tells me she's seen, or some of y'all might tell me, or I've heard. I don't watch news on television. I don't listen to it on radio. I don't look at it on any kind of paper or magazine. I have made up my mind. It about run me out of my ever-loving mind, dwelling on it. There's so much junk in the world, and then you find out that what they're telling you is even worse because it's made up junk, if not all of it. So I made up my mind, said, Lord, look. I had a prayer about 2 years ago. I said, Lord, and I wasn't really thinking about the news. I was just thinking about, you know, church in general. I know our pastor teaches us truth because he backs it up with Bible scripture. That's one way to check. Then you check with the Lord. And you pray and say, not that Brother Scott is not telling us the truth, but my thing was, I wanted my personal relationship with God to be so close and intimate that when I heard truth, I knew it. It didn't matter how much and how many lies I heard. When I heard truth, I knew it. So I started praying, asking God, Lord, I want to know your truth. And I prayed that for a long time, and I kept feeling like, I'm not getting any answers. But I didn't. About a year ago, I got an answer. You know how I got the answer? I started studying God's Word more. Not a bunch more. Don't get me wrong. I'm not up here glorifying myself at all. I'm not into it near as much as I need to be or as much as I want to be. I'm a little bit more than I need to be to operate in my ministry. And that's not good, but I'm being honest. But the more that I am in it, the more truth I know. The more truth I know, I can see the lies coming. I mean, all I do is sit there with a cocked gun of truth waiting for them. Boom. You're a lie. And in this day and time, if a born-again Christian is not in that position, then if you don't know as soon as you hear or see, you've got a couple of options. Number one, you go to the Word. Now, some people will disagree with this. You may not find the details of what you're asking or looking for in the Bible. When I say details, I'm saying, you know, Lord, why have I got this cut on my finger? The Bible's not going to tell me you got that cut on your finger, Monty, because you did this. But if I go and I search God's Word and I say, Lord, I need an answer, He's going to give me an answer. Two reasons. One, His Word is truth, and that's where I'm at looking for it. And number two, He knows my heart's seeking Him. What does His Word say? I draw nigh unto them that draw nigh unto me. Seek and you shall find. Ask it shall be given. Knock, it shall be opened up unto you. When I started doing that, things started becoming more clear. And what I mean by more clear, I don't live in my mind and my heart under the same, I don't know how to describe it exactly, the same look in society on life as society does. I don't look at what's going on, except that I can tell by what's going on in this world is coming closer to the day that the rapture is going to take place and Jesus is going to come back and judgment is coming. I heard preachers preach and preach and preach about it all my life. Zach asked me this morning when I told him, and I had another conversation with him about it. I said, how do you feel so sure about that? I said, number one, God's word says it. And I said, I don't know when it's going to happen. Jesus himself said before he went to heaven, not even the angels know. But after he ascended to heaven, he got the revelation from God, and he gave it to John and gave us the book of Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus of the end times. And it points to things and events, and there's a lot of them that already happened in symbolism out of the book of Revelation. Some of them are even literal. But I can't get off on all of that right now. But I read a chapter to them. And I'm going to tell you how important to have truth in your life is. Go and read Revelations chapter 6. That's where Jesus opened up the seven seals. That's one of the first things that's going to happen after the rapture. And Zach asked me how come I felt like the rapture's going to happen, because in chapter, all the way up to chapter 3, Jesus is talking about the church in the Bible. Man, this wasn't going nowhere like I thought it was. After chapter 3, Jesus don't talk much about the church anymore until you go up to, I think it's chapter 22, maybe 21. He talks about events. Chapter 6 is opening the seven seals. If nothing else happened but those seven seals and the rapture, if you want to pretend that, the earth is going to be upside down. Like I told him, I drive a truck for a living. Legally, it cannot weigh more than 80,000 pounds, including the weight of the truck, the trailer, me, and the product that's in it. 80,000 pounds is a lot of weight. It's like a giant rock rolling down the road at 68 miles an hour. There's some of them giant rocks got gasoline in them and explosives. Now, when the rapture takes place, the people's going to leave this world. God didn't say he's going to stop time and stop the world. Everything's going to continue to happen just like it always did. My truck is going to keep going down the road at 68 miles an hour until something stops it. An airplane up in the air is going to keep flying at 500 miles per hour when those pilots are raptured out until it stops, or crashes. All the vehicles in the world that the born-again Christians, the church, when they're raptured out, are going to still be driving down the road at whatever speed they are until something stops them. Can you imagine what kind of chaos that's going to be? Then go and read chapter 6. That's just the first chapter. I'm not trying to scare anybody except for one reason. I want my boys to know. My prayer for them to have the truth in their heart and to be born again is because I don't want them to be here to experience any of that. There will be some saved after the rapture, but not near as many as they are now. Number one, the Holy Spirit's going to be gone because he dwells in us, and all the Christian, born-again Christian church is going to be gone. They're not coming back except to help Jesus fight and defeat the devil. I mean, not that Jesus needs to help. That's one of the things the church does. And it's going to be pure hell on earth. I want them to have the word of truth in their heart. I want them to have Jesus in their heart where they won't have to go through that. They'll be up there with the rest of us, praising God, waiting until God remakes this earth and makes it perfect for us to live in. We won't have to experience no more of this natural sin curse that we go through. Whew. Praise God. Anyway, there's a famine of truth in this land. And it's not my word. Zach, would you put Amos chapter 8, verse 11 on the screen, please? This is a prophecy book. And the scripture is a scripture of prophecy. And it just proves God's word even more and the points that I'm making of where we're headed, this world's headed, because it's deficit of the truth. The truth is dying in our society. Chapter 8, verse 11, Amos. This is God talking. If you read it in your scriptures, you'll see it before. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God," and it says it right here, "that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread," meaning food, "nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Where do we hear the words of the Lord in these days? Church, preaching. Of course, we get it on TV, radio. You can buy all kinds of media to hear it. But it originates in the church. There's going to be a famine one day. Now, I don't know exactly when that famine's going to be, but I know and feel in my heart, seeing the times it's going around in our society, that it's getting closer and closer and closer. It's happening in some parts of the world right now. How many times you read about a person or persons being put in prison in other countries or even put to death for Christian religious material? A Bible or teaching it. It's happening. And it's happening because God's word is not taken seriously. It's only another point of view to the world. Now you may say, I know the church is supposed to be stopping it. We can't really stop it. God's word tells us we can't. God's word is going to happen. That's the reason we have the book of Revelation to tell us what's going to happen. But what God wants us to do, as Brother Scotty teaches us, is to be soldiers, occupy. Be Christians. Be what God meant us to be as born-again Christians in this spiritual war that we're fighting in this cursed world. Satan has his ways, but the gates of hell won't prevail against the church in the end. It may look like it now in the midst of the battle, but in the end, it will not. When you have that truth in your heart, everything else is only an event that you have to live through. Now, this is actually happening because so many people in the world, including Christians, I'm sad to say, does not have a clear understanding of Scripture. The book, what we call the Holy Bible, God's Word, is not just words about God. It is God's voice printed. That's what makes it alive. That's what gives it its power. The words that we read and we study and we hear, when they are God's word, the true word, is the same thing God would tell us if he was standing in our midst right now. Jesus did it when he was in our midst on earth, when he walked the earth in his ministry. We must understand God's word is absolute truth. Nothing wavering. He's clearly spoken on the subject, and that's the end of the discussion. There's not any, like Brother Scotty said, he's heard it before, I'm sure. Oh, we got common sense. Phooey. Sometimes your common sense is going to fool you because common sense comes from the mind. God's word comes from the heart. Big difference. And if we are having a discussion about it, and we do hold it as absolute truth, then we only need to apply it to our lives, accepting it, believing it. What I said earlier. Hear it, receive it, do it. You can hear God's word and not receive it. I'm also, sadly to say, a testimony of that. But not anymore. I was not anymore. Let me rephrase that. Now, it's talking about Revelation. There is a link between... Let me get ahead of myself here. Yeah, sorry. God's Word, as I said, is God's Word. Scripture is God's Word in print. It is revelation. When you receive it, it becomes revelation. Revelation is nothing more. I mean, I'm not making it, downgrading it, but it's divine disclosure. It means we're hearing what God wants us to hear. Let's turn to Isaiah 55, chapter 55. If you want to put it up there, Zach, it's Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11. Forgive me this morning. And this is God speaking again. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and making it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." Where have we heard that before? Thank you, Brother Scott. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." God will disclose to us through revelation what he wants us to know in his word. And he's not holding anything back if we receive it. Now, the recording of that divine closure, which is the content of the scriptures, recording it where we can hear it is our inspiration. You say, where do I get that from? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I can't tell you how many people have told me this before whenever I tried to witness to them in the past. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. Verse 19 says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, that the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." They were inspired. They had revelation. They were inspired. A lot of people, if you try to make an argument for the Bible, will say, well, the Bible's only a book. Men wrote it. Yeah, men physically wrote down the word, but they wrote down the very exact word God wanted written, what he said. That's what that scripture supports. There's a link between revelation and inspiration. When we make the decision in our heart, instinctively, and first time it's going to be when we're born again. When we make that decision in our heart and our spirit that God's word is real, absolute, and authority and truth on everything, we'll get revelation. That's how we're born again. When you make that change inside of you and you say, "I believe God's word, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven." When you make that change, you become inspired by God's word. You receive the revelation, you become inspired, you want to be born again. And then when that change has taken place inside of you, you become inspired even more because you want to receive more revelation. It's called hunger. That's what Brother Scotty teaches us and Sister Teresa. Hunger, thirst for God's word. That's what our spirit is hungering after, God's word. And when we get it, we become inspired, we want more revelation. And it's a link. And it's a cycle. And I hope, pray to God, it's one that never stops in my life. Now, The verses I just read, the Holy Spirit oversaw everything that these men were doing when they were writing God's Scripture. God made sure the Scriptures we have today is what He wanted, that He said in whole, nothing less, nothing more. They are, whenever the King James Version Bible was written and everything was gathered together, I'm not going to go into a big history lesson about it. It was taken into English. The reason it has a lot of therefore and thou fors and stuff in it, it was written in Old English. That's the way the English people talk. But we have even better translations today out of the Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic, however you say that they use to translate it. Now, when you have that revelation inspiration going on inside of you, the reason that is there is because the only revelation a lost person can have from the Word of God is to be born again. If you're not born again, that's the only revelation you get from the Word of God. If you read it, it's either going to be a book to you, a history lesson, or something that just boring you, or you don't even want to read it to start with. Most people don't even want to mess with it. But when you're born again, it becomes that cycle and that link. And we are to cling to it. That's the reason it said there in verse 19. You do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawns, that the day star arise in your heart. You stick with the Word. You stay with the Word until you get God's Word. You get that revelation. And I promise you, I guarantee you, if you stay, you will get your revelation. No matter if it's on a certain subject or it's just happens to be about what you're reading about at the time, you will get revelation. If nothing else, it will make your relationship to God become closer. And that'll be a revelation to you in and of itself. It was to me. God's Word will not ever fail nor fall. Jesus is talking in Matthew 24 and 35, and He says, the Scripture shall not be broken. That means that it will never fail. It won't be disannulled. It won't be of no effect. It'll always be what it is. And it'll never change. It cannot be broken. Will not be broken. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass, but God's word shall not fall. The only time God's word will not work is if you trust in something else besides His word. And the only reason it doesn't work then is not because it fails, it's because we fail, either lost or born again, to accept it, read it, accept it, receive it, and do it. And that's not a failure on God's word, it's a failure on man. Zach, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Brother Scotty preaches all the time about head knowledge, you know, heart knowledge of the Word of God. The Scripture shows you that. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, O Lord, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, the wise and the prudent are people that's educated and have knowledge. They're not, by the world standard, they are high and mighty in. We'll call it book smarts if you want to. They have knowledge, but it's of the world. What the world calls knowledge. And has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Has anybody in here ever had a little bit of trouble with that? Has it kind of been cloudy to you? It has to me at times. I'm going to read it to you in the Amplified. Here we go. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I openly and joyfully acknowledge your great wisdom, that you have hidden these things, these spiritual truths, from the wise and intelligent, and revealed them to infants, to new believers, to those seeking God's will and purpose. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to reveal him, him meaning the Father. Jesus picks whom he deliberately wants. What I mean by that, we are the church, the born-again children of God. Jesus deliberately wants us to know the Father. That's why he came. Jesus wants us to deliberately know the Father because we depend not on anything except God's word and the truth, on him. People that depend on their own understanding and what they have learned by head knowledge of Jesus, the Bible, or what have you, or anything else, cannot understand what the born-again believer understands and Jesus reveals to him, to the Word of God and the truth. It's not a mystery. It's simple. Why does it not happen to everybody? That's simple, too. Not everybody wants it. If you ever in your life wanted anything so bad that you'd do almost anything in the world, you know, I'm not talking about breaking the law or doing anything really bad, I hope and pray in my heart that you want the truth. God's revelation to you personally. Now, God doesn't reveal, give me revelation of something, and it be different than your revelation. God's word has one revelation that he reveals to whomever is seeking him through Jesus. And it tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Zach, if you want to put it up there real quick, verses 14 through 16. I'll just read it over here. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, which is the truth, God's word, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, the place that you learn truth is in the church. But when you hear what you hear in church, don't take it just because I said it, Brother Scotty said it, or whoever said it. The next thing you do is you check it. And if it don't line up with the Bible, I mean, you come and talk to me all you want to. I won't have no problem with it. I'm not going to fuss and argue about it. If I said something out of the way that I missed, I will back up and say, I'm sorry, I missed it. But he's telling him that he's known these and he's been taught them. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This verse right here. All Scripture. I said a while ago, Scripture is God's divine word. His divine content of his word is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That should pretty much say it all right there. If you want the truth, and you want God's will. Brother Scotty, what sent me on my little quest is Brother Scotty was preaching. Faith comes with the will of God. Faith starts with the will of God is known. Well, I knew I had faith in God, but the other part of it kind of seemed to trigger something in me. It was starting some inspiration, some revelation. Well, I can't know where the will of God starts or faith starts. I don't know the will of God until I get in God's Word. I want to know what God's will was for me. When I got in God's Word, He gave me the revelation. He started revealing it to me. And that's truth. And my prayer for each and every person in this room, and anybody can hear my voice, anybody. If you're lost, I hope and pray that you hear the truth and you let it come into your heart, that you become born again. If you're born again, I hope and pray that you receive the truth and get in God's Word and let Him set you up the way He has planned for you in your life. It's unbelievable. That's all I got this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?